Tom has been on saying sending sentimental junk to the moon, what a waste of money and resources. There's enough waste here on Earth. Don't start destroying the moon. Another one, leave the moon alone. We've done enough damage to Earth. I think I'm kind of with you on that one. Now, as cliched as it might sound, this is the time of year when people really start to assess their lives and decide to make changes. And a new career is one of the biggest moves you can make. Sinead English is founder of Hilt Career Consultancy and is with me for more on how to approach making such a big change. Sinead, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
I have a message here because we were mentioning earlier that you were coming on. This person says, I've been in the transport industry since my early 20s. Now I'm 43 and I hate it. It's not even COVID or rising costs. I'm just fed up. I should feel lucky, but I'm burnt out. I want to spend more time with my wife and three children, but I just don't know where to start. And that's what we want to talk to you about today is how do you begin the process of this massive change?
Okay, well, it's good. It's a good way to start. And I think, you know, the first thing to say to that particular viewer or caller and also to everybody else is to first of all decide why you want to change. You know, what are the things that are really annoying you in your job? And I think that texter has already made that decision as to what those things are. Because I think, you know, we're all talking about the great resignation and the big quit. And it's almost like we feel, oh my gosh, well, maybe I should be leaving my job because everybody else is doing it. It's a bit of a herd effect. But first of all, you know, just getting out a piece of paper and writing down, okay, well, what don't I like about my job? Is there anything I like about my job? What would I like to do more of? What would I like to do less of? And then start figuring out, okay, well, what are the options open to me? So it may be the case that you may have to do some more retraining. It may be the case that the best thing to do, rather than just responding and going on the internet late at night and looking up loads of ads and sending out CVs and never hearing back, is to have conversations with a few different people who you know are working in different industries and different areas that you're thinking, you know, maybe something I've always been interested in. I wonder what are the chances of me actually making a move to that kind of industry, rather than sending out CVs to try and apply for jobs and that, the best thing to do would be to speak to people first who are in the industry and get their view.
And what do you think is generally the driving force for people who decide, like that listener has clearly decided, that they want change?
You know, I think there's so many things. I mean, COVID, I think, has brought everything into focus that people are feeling, right, okay, you know, life is too short for this. I don't like my job. A lot of people are thinking, you know, is my job really worthwhile? Am I actually doing anything to contribute to society? When we see all the other people who've been so heroic throughout the pandemic doing jobs that really matter. So I think there's been a bit of introspection that way. And I think also maybe some people are just being asked now that, okay, COVID is, you know, quote unquote, over. We're now dealing with it. So you have to come back to work. You have to come back into the office, and people have got used to flexibility. And in a lot of cases, you know, we're hearing that clients now want to have a little bit more flexibility about working remotely and not going into the office every day. But on the other side, I would say that there's also clients who are dying to get back into the office because they're sick of working at home.
Are you concerned when people say to you in January, that's it, I'm changing everything, I'm quitting my job? I mean, is it the right time to do it?
You know, it's a good question, and it's like the fresh start effect, isn't it? You know, we make all these great promises to ourselves that we're going to do things in January, and I think for the last quarter of the year, we're probably thinking, okay, I hate my job, but I'll do something about it in January. So that accounts for this big rush in January to change your job. You know, the right time for looking for a job is as soon as you figure out you hate what you're doing or you think you could be better utilised somewhere else. It just happens that there seems to be more of a focus on it in January. And that's also because I think employers in January are deciding on their budgets, deciding on new plans for expansion for the year. So there are more jobs advertised, traditionally more jobs advertised in January and February than other months of the year.
You've some really good advice on leaving well, and I think everybody should pay heed to that. You know, don't fall out with people. Don't tell all of your colleagues before you tell your boss that you're heading out the door.
Mm. Yes, exactly. You know, don't leave before you leave, because people can start to get suspicious when you take your foot off the pedal, and that gets remembered. And I remember years ago working in an organisation and somebody saying that they called in sick. And they said they had food poisoning. And I remember I wrote about this in my book about how they went into graphic detail when they came back into the office about just how ill they were, so that it stuck in my mind. And then 4 days later, they resigned. And it was pretty obvious that they had been skiving off work to go for interviews and made up this story. So you always remember that.
Yeah. And you see, you never know when you're going to see those people again or in what guise. And especially in a small country like Ireland, you've got to assume that you'll see them again.
Absolutely. You have to leave well. And you know, when you are writing your resignation letter, even if you absolutely detest the place and everybody in it, you know, just write a very unemotional letter giving them the facts about, you know, what date you're going to be leaving in accordance with your contract and thank them very much. And that's it. Because, as you say, Claire, you never know when you're going to meet them again.
And once you make your decision about the career that you would like to be involved in or to embark on, you can't assume that the jobs are going to be advertised, because in most cases they're not.
Yes, I mean, and this is something, you know, so if you just picture the scene, maybe, you know, that person who texted in earlier on, they're not happy in their job. And usually what people do is they start looking at job ads and thinking, I could do that, maybe I could do that, and firing off CVs and getting nowhere. So about 70% of jobs don't get advertised at all. And I know every time we say this, everybody gets surprised. And by advertised, we mean, you know, that includes all the ads that you'd see on social media, on LinkedIn, recruitment agencies, you know, notice boards, newspapers, and so much of it is word of mouth. And especially if you're thinking of changing career, you know, moving from one career into a different career, it's so important to speak to people who are working in that area so that you can get a very realistic understanding of what's involved, because maybe it will suit you, but maybe it won't. And again, I've just lost track of the amount of people who call us at Hilt and say, you know, I'm thinking of moving into X industry from Y industry. What's the best course for me to do to make that quick transition? And to be perfectly honest, we say, look, you know, I don't know, because we're not working in that particular area. What they need to do is find somebody who they know or know of who's working in that area and ask them the questions. And there's certainly, it's never been a better time to do courses, retraining, so many free courses out there now sponsored by the government.
All of this can be quite daunting. And I was having a look at your book, CV and Interview 101, How to Apply and Interview for Jobs. And there were some things in there that I had never heard of before, like when you're asked to provide a video cover letter. Now, that will be new to many people.
Yes. I mean, this is it's a short video, 2 to 3 minutes, where you have to introduce yourself to the company. So imagine what you would write on your cover letter about how you've been working here for X years and you're motivated and determined and all that kind of stuff. Well, they want that on camera. And
I mean, where do you start? is hi, you know, the proper way to begin, or what do you do?
Yes. So it's, you know, it's a bit like the, you know, how we had to get used to Zoom calls and Teams calls and you know, connecting with the camera and imagining that there's somebody actually on the other side. So you're recording yourself. If you think of it, you're sitting in your office or room or wherever you are, recording yourself, trying to sound engaged and enthusiastic. So the best thing to do is imagine that there's somebody on the other side. Sometimes we say to our clients, just get a little sticky note, put a smiley face on it and stick it right beside the camera so you can at least sound like a human being.
Yeah, some people will be very happy to do that, and for others it will be the ultimate cringe moment of their life. But I suppose if that's the way the world is going, we've got to try and to try and reach that point of being able to do a video cover letter. And also, if you're asked to do, and this is common enough, isn't it, a presentation as part of your interview process. Now, I'm sure preparation is hugely important there.
Yes. I mean, certain roles, you know, the more senior role you're going to be applying for and interviewing for, it's quite likely that you will have to do a presentation. You know, usually be between 7 to 10 minute presentation on, for instance, you know, my strategy for the role or my vision for the role or something like that.
And so, go ahead.
So the key thing here is that less is more. You know, we've seen some draft presentations that people send us when we're helping them with their interview training, and there's 14 slides.
Yeah, and it's really boring.
It's really boring, and they're just reading it. So pictures speak, you know, 1,000 words, as they say, and people can't read and listen at the same time. So the people who are assessing you and analysing your presentation as you're talking, you know, do you want them to be listening to you, or do you want them to be reading all the stuff you've written on the slides? So best to, you know, less is more. But we would say to our clients that you're lucky if you get asked to give a presentation, because you're totally in control of things for the first 7 to 10 minutes.
And how do you answer questions in an interview style? I mean, there are particular things that people are looking for if they're interviewing you in your answer.
Yeah, so it's all about giving them evidence. So if you think about, you know, what is the purpose of an interview? It's for you to bring your CV and cover letter and all the great claims you've made in both of them to life. So they're going to be testing that everything that you said is true, and also that you can sell yourself into the role. So it's very easy, really, to predict interview questions because interviewers tend to be pretty.
Oh, and just like that, I think our line to Sinead has dropped. Anyway, our time is just about up. That was Sinead English. And if you want to get more of Sinead's tips, her book, as I said, is CV and Interview 101, How to Apply and Interview for Jobs.